Welcome to Needle Exchange, a place where thread and thought intertwine. That's a great strapline, that one. Thank you. My name is Jamie Chalmers, aka Mr. X-Stitch, and today I'm continuing my conversation with the fantastic Hattie McGill, an embroidery artist who has stitched her way from palace classrooms to the silver screen. Oh yes. In this second part of our conversation, Hattie talks about pivoting her practice during the pandemic by launching a series of goldwork embroidery kits, how she balances studio life with film commissions, and the joys and realities of working in the embroidery industry today. We also get her cultural touch points and basically just have a good old chin wag with someone who I've known for a long time and who I'm a massive fan of. If you're interested in hearing more about embroidery's adaptability and innovation, then be sure to check out Needle Exchange's 81 and 82 with Caro, a multidisciplinary artist working with thread and with metal. I'll be back next week with someone else from the world of stitch. So until then, enjoy the show. So then pandemic came along and that gave you an opportunity to slightly refocus. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I'd always done selling things on the side, like goldwork brooches and stuff like that. So I'd probably do like maybe 6 months film and then 6 months of like my own work doing commissions and whatnot. And then the pandemic happened and it gave me a lot of time to do what I'd been meaning to do for years, which was bring out goldwork embroidery kits. Mm-hmm. So then I sort of restructured and did that, and they did really well. And that's sort of what I've been doing since, on top of everything else. But that's like an extra.
So you've got quite a happy balance there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what do you do when you're not stitching? You've got a dog.
I've got a dog.
Yeah.
Who I was going to say takes up a lot of my time, but he doesn't. He's not needy. He's so lazy. Just sort of, I don't even know where he is, to be honest. He's probably in the garden. Dog. I don't know. I think that's the perils of when you have a studio in your home, you work from home. I always feel guilty when I'm not in here and I'm not working. Mm. But then I often don't see it as work. So, yeah, when I'm not stitching, I am actually generally probably in here thinking about stitching, or I like knitting and crochet and things like that.
So. Blasphemy. Have you, are you quite good at time management? Like, do you cut off, do you sort of say, right, it's 6 p.m. and I'm going to stop work now? Or does that depend on what your workload is?
It depends what I'm working on. Because if I've got a lot of work on, I will just continue working until my other half goes, you know, it's dinner time, we need to eat, or like you need to go to bed or something. Because I will just like focus. But I think also with like film, I got so used to, because hours in film are really long, as I'd be at work by 8, finish at 6, but then quite often we'd work till later. So when I first started like working on my own stuff a lot more, I tried to keep to those hours, but actually it doesn't work for me. Mm. So I generally try and like, I might start a bit later, but then I'll generally work till like 8, half 8 every night.
Right.
Just like figuring out, and I'd get really cross with myself if I didn't originally stick to those hours, like, well, that worked in film, so I can do that with my own stuff. Mm. And then I'd get really cross with myself if I didn't, like, oh, you weren't at your desk at 8, Hattie. But then actually it doesn't really matter because it's my own studio and I'm doing like my own kits and stuff. So it's just sort of looks like restructuring my day to what, you know.
I sort of remember in the early days of working from home, like 2008, something like that. And I worked for a children's charity and you work from home. And for a while you're like, yeah, I'm working from home, I can do what I like. And then you go through a phase of going, oh my God, I can work from home and everyone thinks I'm going to be slacking. So you go through like this guilt layer and then there's these other bits and bobs and it's all just a bit bonkers, isn't it? Because you're just like, oh.
It is. I mean, when I'm like, you know, if anyone from my film world listens to this, if I'm on film work, I do stick to film work hours from home. But at my own work, I'm just trying to give myself like a bit of grace, because I guess that's the perks of like self-employed, working for yourself things.
Yeah, but it's also recognizing that it's okay to do that. It's okay to go with the flow, because actually it's a bit more like balanced that way. You don't want to force it, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's taken me a long time to sort of figure that out, I think.
Right. Shall we talk about your favourite things? Now, you said a minute ago that when you're stitching, you listen to audiobooks. So why don't we start with, do you have a favourite band or album?
This is a tricky one, because I was like, oh, do I? But actually, I think I do. It's a band called, they're not like super famous, called The Slow Show.
Okay.
They're from Manchester. And I just think it's just one of their album White Water has just been one that in this house we've just played on repeat for like, I don't know, like 10 years or something.
Genre is?
I'm shit at genres. I don't know.
Guitars? Electronic?
Oh, they've got guitars. They've got, it's sort of like slow, but they also occasionally will have like the odd trumpet in there.
A bit post-folk? Klezmer adjacent.
But they we sort of discovered them years ago. Well, it says here, oh, they're British indie pop band is what Google says. Years ago when we were at Bestival. I think it must have been either the year I started the RSN or the year before. So we're thinking like 2012, 2013. We were at Bestival when it was still on the Isle of Wight. Mm. Actually, I don't even know if Bestival's around anymore. And it was like post with breakfast, like late, go for breakfast, get your breakfast cider. And from just like one of the smaller tents, we could just hear, we heard this music and we were like, oh, that sounds a bit of all right. So we went and just sat and it was just like the best thing, like one of the best things we saw that entire weekend. They were so good. And then we went and we saw that we went up to Manchester to see them. We saw them in London a few times and you know, they're just incredible. They're so good. Yeah, I love them. So yeah, The Slow Show, I think it's called White Water.
Right.
I used to have an actual physical CD of it and then the dog ate it, which was really annoying.
Yeah, actually the dog ate my, I bought a new cap about 2 months ago and then discovered yesterday the dog had chewed that. I'm not really happy with that dog right now. Chews everything really.
They always just pick the weirdest things just to go for.
Annie is her sixth birthday and me and Flora bought her a tiny little BB baby fennec fox thing. Like it was like the thing that Flora bought for her. And literally the day she gave it to her, at some point in the afternoon, Astro chewed its nose off. We were just like, Flora was in bits. Annie couldn't have cared, particularly. She'd only had it for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you listen to music when you're working? Or do you listen to, I know you said audiobooks or whatever. Does it matter what you listen to when you're working?
I mean, quite often I'll say audiobooks. So if I go through phases. I'll either be like, I'm listening to audiobooks. If I'm on a film job, it'll be mainly audiobooks, podcasts, something like that. But I quite often will just have like some crap TV in the background. Normally something that I don't really have to concentrate on too much or like follow a plot line that you can sort of listen to. So like something classic like QI, mm-hmm. Midsummer Murders, things that just are noise. I went through a phase of trying to watch The Killing whilst I was working and that did not work at all. Because there was a lot of subtitles.
Oh, God, yeah.
By the end of it, I was just, like, convinced I could speak Danish. So it varies. And if it is music, I like to listen to classic FM at the movies sometimes, especially if I'm doing, because it's just, like, I can't, if I'm doing anything that's, like, admin-y, spreadsheets, I have to, like, just listen to music, because otherwise I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, and that stacks up because one of the things I was going to ask you is, like, I find that if I want to get something creative done, then I have to listen to music. If I'm doing something relatively mindless or something where I don't have to think too hard about it, then I'm happy to listen to people talking.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
Mm.
Yeah. If it's something that I have to really concentrate on, it has to be like music, yeah, or something like QI where it's just I've seen it before and it's just sort of background noise.
Mm.
But I can't work in silence at all.
Yeah, no, me either. Drives me nuts. I go sit in my mother-in-law's house and listen to the ticking of the clocks. The minute any of them go out the room, I'm like, Alexa, God damn it, bail me out of here. Please, I'm dying. What was I going to say? And then you listen to classical movie music because that's like industry adjacent. Just keeps you in the mood.
Well, it's just, it's weird, like from when I was younger, my mum was a special needs teacher and so she could probably just see all like the cues for someone who was a bit, I don't know, neurodivergent in some ways. So it also meant that she was like tuned into like new practices to help people. And I did not concentrate at all when I was younger. Like, I was just constantly just off the wall. And so she took me to this person and she said, oh, you should, she should listen to classical music like for 15 minutes every night. So I did. And it's meant to like, I don't know if it worked. So I don't know if it's like, I don't know, stemmed from that. But I do just find classical music quite calming. But yeah, classic FM at the movies is great. And Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, you can't get better than those.
I think what's quite nice as well is with that kind of classical music is it doesn't get too like, duh, 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 does it? You know, and that's the stuff that will get you going, won't it? You know, that's the same as like dance
and
music.
Especially if it's, yeah, it's linked to like a film and you've got a good memory with that film or something, then it's, yeah, it's good. So I do quite like listening to that.
Okay, so let's go via audiobooks then. Let's go about like the kind of books. What was, is there a last good book you read? Do you have a favourite book?
I think I've got probably two favourite books. Probably, I don't know if they're a bit basic.
Mr. Tickle. It's like, no, that is a bit basic.
When I was at school, I did a module on Gothic literature, and since then I've just loved that. So The Woman in White is one of my, by Wilkie Collins, is one of my favourite books. And also Brighton Rock.
Okay.
I love a good mystery.
Right.
An eerie mystery, and things like that.
I don't think I've read either of those, so unfortunately I don't have any witty back. What's Woman in White about?
It's about, it's a Victorian sort of gothic, I mean, it's not like scary about, it's quite complicated.
Is it a ghost story or is that The Woman in Black? I feel like at the theatre once. Right, I've seen that at the theatre.
I went on a school trip once and I didn't watch the second half. I was so scared. You know, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But no, The Woman in White is more, it's not ghostly.
Right.
At all.
It's just a bit eerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you like reading books or do you prefer listening to books?
I do like reading books, but I feel like I just don't get the time to do it apart from, you know, I have a Kindle and I read that at night, but then I generally find myself like falling asleep. After like a page. So audiobooks for me, if I'm out like walking the dog or just working, I've just listened to audiobooks all the time. But yeah, actually I will finish it, but because I'm classic, I always start books and then forget about them. But we went to see Operation Mincemeat at the theatre a couple of weeks ago, so I downloaded The Man Who Never Was.
Okay.
Which is about that. It's quite good so far.
Is it? What's it about?
So it's about Operation Mincemeat. It was a thing in the war where they were trying to trick the Germans by dumping a corpse in the water with loads of papers on it so that they would think that the British were doing something else than what they actually were. But it's all about the process of how they had to fake, they had to get like a dead body and stuff like that.
Right.
It was a true story, and there's an amazing musical about it on the West End that I will recommend to anybody.
I heard something on a podcast the other day where they were saying there were some ops that people did one time where they were trying to, they were aware that Hitler was insecure about his masculinity, so they were trying to coerce fruit growers to put feminine hormones into their fruit because they knew that he would ultimately end up eating that fruit in the hope that they could over a period of time like demasculine him or something. Yeah, to like,
see, I just love all this ridiculousness.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
And the Operation Mincemeat was partly devised by Ian Fleming, who wrote Bond.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, part of that team.
This is a random question, but have you ever woken up on embroidery? Like, have you ever fallen asleep at it? Have you?
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah, and quite often, and I'm told off for doing this all the time, we'll find scissors in the bed because I've been working in bed, or needles.
Yeah.
Have
you got a good needle minder, or do you just not use them?
I have a few, but I still don't know how needles constantly end up on a different floor of the house than I've been working on. Like, they just follow me around.
It's more fun when you've got children. That one's always good fun because you're like, oh, there it is. It's in my daughter's bum.
Yeah. Well, our dog, when he was quite young, had a coughing fit one night, and this needle with thread attached just came out of his mouth. And I looked at my boyfriend and was like, there's only one person that we can blame for. I have no excuse.
That's fair.
Really, at all.
Podcast recommendations, Needle Exchange, notwithstanding, obviously.
Obviously. At the minute, I'm obsessed with the Titanic podcast.
Okay, what's that about?
About the Titanic. It's so good. I've got so many people onto it. It's so interesting. About, like, they do an episode, like, every week about getting up towards how it sunk, and it just didn't know that there was so much behind it. So, yeah, that's good. I listen to a lot of, like, history podcasts, and then I love a comedy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shagged, Married, Annoyed, That's the Cracker, all those sort of things. Obviously, listen to The Oscars every day because I am who I am.
Yeah, it's got to be done. I remember once somebody we knew who, like, he was coming to visit. He was, like, a friend of my mum's, I think, and he was coming to visit, but he just sat in his car to let the Archers finish before he came in because he was just like, this is my time. That's what I'm doing.
I used to do that if I was timing it as I got home from work. My mum does it too. Yeah, I will sit on the drive for like 3 more minutes just because I need to get to the end of this episode.
I mean, I don't listen to it, but I remember there was something as well, wasn't there, a while ago where Brian Eno offered to like sort out the theme music, and then they played theme music for like 2 days and then turned it back again because everyone was like, how very dare you? Like Brian Eno, do you know what I mean? Like proper.
Yeah.
Put his heart and soul into it, and then just everybody was angry about it.
That's amazing.
And then
it's a bit of one of the things, though. Sometimes The Archers is so crap, but like I can't stop listening to it.
Yeah, my Mary used to be like that with EastEnders, but we've managed to wean her off it because it's just not good. I was like, look, here's a packet of cigarettes. Have that. Yeah. Might be better. Yeah, it's got to be better. Films. Got a favourite film that you haven't worked on? Got a favourite film you have worked on?
Favourite film ever that I haven't worked on is Hunt for the Wild People by Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
It's just such a good film. It makes me so happy. And if we ever like I just don't know what to watch, if we watch something, we're always like, should we put on Hunt for the Wild People? And it's just got such a good soundtrack and it's just such a good film. I mean, anything that Taika Waititi touches is really gold, so.
Yeah. Have you watched What They Do in the Shadows? Is that what it's called? The vampire thing?
Yeah.
So funny.
So good.
Here's a good one. Matt Berry apparently went to the same school as me. I think apparently he might have been in the year above me, but obviously wasn't fully Matt Berry at that point.
That's so cool.
I don't remember him. It's not like I have any, Matt Berry beat me up or whatever. But and they've got a thing. They're trying to do a reunion at our school because it's like 50 years since the school opened. I'm pretty sure he's not on the Facebook group.
Yeah. Is everyone like, we're only going if Matt Berry's going?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I like to think it was because of me, but actually I've come off it now. They don't even know who I am. None of them do need work. I'm not important. Are there any films, like what was Wicked the most enjoyable film you worked on?
They've all been great. They've all been great films. It varies from job to job. Bridgerton was so much fun as a job, and Wicked was a lot of fun and just creatively just really good fun, and we had a really good team, and also it was a good film too.
Did you watch Bridgerton in the end, like the actual show? Yeah, I thought the costumes, second series costumes, I was just like, they're just having a laugh, aren't they? They're just really having a lot of fun here. I always seem to remember one with like a massive bow.
That might have been,
the third series.
Right. Yeah, the third series, I feel like they just had a lovely time.
Why not? You've got nothing to lose.
Let's just do this. What else I did? In terms of like enjoy, like ones that are films that I've done that I probably would have watched anyway, like any sort of the Agatha Christie type ones that I did. Like I did some for Why Didn't They Ask Evans? Which actually I didn't even realise that my work was in it until I was just watching it anyway.
Right.
Because I'd sold one of my necklaces to a designer friend and just thought, oh, she's just buying it for herself. Didn't even like click. And then we were watching it. And then Ed, my boyfriend, was like, that's your necklace on the actress. And I was like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of things that I probably would like, anything like Agatha Christie or something I would be watching anyway, even if I didn't work on it or not.
Have you got an IMDb page?
I think so,
Damn. Have you got a Wikipedia page?
No, not yet. Maybe one.
Yeah, I keep saying that as well. I can't bring myself to write it, but for God's sake, somebody needs to do it. I'm getting desperate.
oh God, I feel like mine would be very boring.
I don't know. You're like the, I'm still workshopping the title of the podcast, but you're like the Hollywood gold star.
I don't know.
Cinematic gold. Oh my God, I'm writing that down. Cinematic gold work. That's your strap line there.
That's very good.
Is there an interesting fact that not a lot of people know about Hattie McGill?
See, I asked my sister this because I was like, I've had such a boring life. I was like, all I've got is that potentially we did gymnastics competitively when we were younger. And she was like, no, you are an idiot. And I've got a thing in my family, which we call Lunger's Knee, which is it was her birthday party, actually. And it was a bad taste party. So you had to dress up in like your worst possible taste. And I dressed as Mr. Motivator and was quite pissed, like quite drunk. And I think I must have been like 18 or something and was doing like some classic, you know, like 80s lunges. And my knee popped out and I dislocated my knee. It then popped back in and I tore all my cartilage in there and had to have 3 operations.
Wow.
Just from dressing up
as Mr. Motivator
and lunging.
Wow. Does it come out and in now? Is it a thing?
It occasionally does like pop out, but I haven't really done any damage to it.
How many people threw up when it came out at that party? I feel like, and then when it popped back in, everyone's just like, oh no, that just hit me over the
back. Not many. I was just like, because I was in that level of drunk where I was like, it was quite funny and it probably hurt. I just didn't like register it. And it swelled up massive. And my sister was just like, your knee's always been that fat. We just haven't wanted to tell you because she just didn't want to take me to hospital.
Right. It's the third day of walking around in it when you're like, yeah, I really need some surgery.
I went to work the next day and I was like, I used to like wash up at this like local place and I couldn't walk. So the chef just put me on top of the fridge and said, don't move. And then at that point, I was like, maybe I should go to the doctor. And then, yeah, they were like, yeah, you need to go to hospital.
Your kneecap's like halfway up your thigh at that point. You're like, maybe it needs to go back.
So, yeah, but she was like, you either need to say that or the time you flashed at the vicar.
Go on. No, go on. You've opened that now. This is 2 things.
I was quite young and I think I was at church and I had a very nice smock dress that had matching pants, as you do when you're like 3. I was probably like embroidering at the same time, I don't know. And in the middle of the sermon, I walked up to the front of the church, lifted my dress and shouted, I've got matching knickers.
Wow.
And he just held my hand and walked me back to my parents.
Yeah. Who were like, that's quite a gangster move as well to actually get, like, it's one thing to do it like in the pew, but to go up to the front and share it with everyone.
Right up to the front.
Has that been a thing that's ever echoed through the rest of your life?
No. I feel like that's my one and only time flashing, hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, ask your sister. She's the one who clearly knows what's going on. So that makes a difference, doesn't it? And then she's like, oh, and then there's that whole lie you've been telling since you were 3 about the needlework. It's like, that's quite interesting. It's all a sham.
I feel like she's just waiting for a Daily Mail article to write about that or something.
That's amazing. Hattie, thanks for having a needle exchange with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I've had such a lovely time.
It was such a lovely time. It's the most painful thing ever. Thanks for that.